It is very interesting here. The thing that got him to the temple that day was his troubles. The thing that got him in this worship experience was his trials, his sorrow. That's what allowed him to have true worship. One of the most beautiful pictures of worship in all of God's words right here in Isaiah 6. How that the glory of the Lord just fills that temple. How Isaiah gets to be a spectator of it. Man, I want to tell you something. I just like being around when God shows up. I mean, I just like to watch. Just let me sit somewhere in a corner and let me observe when worship is taking place. It thrills my heart. But understand, it was sorrows, it was troubles, it was difficulties that got Isaiah, that moved Isaiah to the temple that day where he met with a holy God seated on his throne. Had there not been troubles, had there not been sorrows, had there not been brokenness, had there not been this burden on Isaiah, watch, he would have not made his way to the temple and saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and lifted up. So what you need to understand, girls, come to the piano. What you need to understand is this. Sorrows, troubles, even our failures. Did you know that God, if he wanted to, he's so big that he could control us like little robots? You know that. He could. Brother Joy, he could stop me from ever failing him. He could just control, he could control my thoughts, my actions, and all that. But he lets us. He allows us free will. He allows us to fail. He allows sorrows to come to our path. He allows brokenness to come to us. You know why he does that? So that it'll drive us to him and we can get a vision of the Lord high and lifted up, seated on the throne. That's why God does that. And it's life experiences that causes that. And for all of you young people here and our teenagers in high school, I wish that there was something I could do. I wish I could pray in some manner, in some fashion, that would exempt you from sorrow, from troubles, from trials. Some of you hadn't been married long. Some of you are just starting families. And so far, life has been a honeymoon. But I am telling you, difficult days will come. Dark days will come. Long valleys you'll have to walk through. There'll be times when you'll think that I'm all alone and even the Lord has forsaken me. But there's a reason that God lets these things come to you. And that reason is it's going to drive you to him and he's going to reveal his presence to you. And more importantly, he's going to reveal his person to you. And his person is this. He is high and lifted up. He is on the throne. And he always would. Now listen, watch this. The very fact he's on the throne means this. That means he's in command and he's in control. That means he is God. And friends, I want you to understand, as long as he's on the throne, and he always will be, he will always be in control. When life's gone out of control, I assure you that there's a God in heaven who's got his hand on it, and he's well in control of your life. So Isaiah, he has this incredible worship experience. He teaches us that even when things die, we still need to worship him. Even when life's not went as it's planned, we should still worship him. Man, you know one of the hardest things, Brother Joe, the hardest people to preach to is this. The hardest people to preach to is people who's never had any difficulties. They've never been broken. They've never been through hardships, through trials. Always been at the top of the game. That's tough people to preach to right there. You know who the best people are to worship with? People who's lived life. People who's been through a car wreck that nearly killed them. People who's had cancer. People who's been through a divorce about broke them. People who's had financial ruin. People who's lost a job. People who's had a wayward son or a wayward daughter, a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter. Man, people who have had their dreams taken out from under them. people who's watched their world shatter all around them, people who's had mentors and heroes of the faith die, literally die in front of them. I like to get around and worship people like that. I like to get around and worship people who realize they're just a sinner saved by grace. And had God not saved them, they'd still be on a bar stool. Had God not saved them, they'd still have a needle in their arm. Had God not saved them, they'd have killed themselves years ago. Had God not saved them, then they'd be depressed and about to go crazy today. But God saved them, and they know they're here today because of the grace of a God who is seated on his throne in heaven. Amen. Amen. Man, I was preaching one Sunday morning. I pastored a whole county over, about the same distance as it is from here to Commerce. It'd be like pastoring in Commerce, living here. I pastored a county over. We're worshiping one day. Actually, I'm preaching. I hadn't noticed who was behind me when I was sitting on the front pew. But I was preaching, and I noticed this man. And as I was preaching, he just kept praising the Lord and praising the Lord and praising the Lord. He was a visitor. I didn't know who he was. And then as I preached, and I looked at him, and I looked at him, and I'm thinking, I know this man. I know this man. Who is he? And then I remembered who he was, Paige. I got behind a car one night. Myself and Jerry Smith were in the same car. We had a two-man car in this part of town back then because it was such a bad part of town. But anyway, we come around, and I saw this little bitty car leaving a bar. And I wanted to try to catch up to him. He ran a stop sign and had his headlights out, 3 a.m. And so I'm flying, trying to catch up to this car. And as I'm flying, trying to catch up to this car, he's making lefts, rights on all these little city streets. And we didn't even have time to call it in and say what we were doing. Before we knew it, he was home in Auburn Park. And he skidded through his grass, through his driveway, through his grass, slid his car right up to the porch, and he bailed out of that little car. And when he stepped out of the car, I found out that he was wearing the car. He's about 6'5 and weighed about 250, 260 pounds. And he jumps out, and we hadn't had time to say anything. Nobody knew where we was at. I mean, we were off radar. I didn't have time to say anything. We jumped out and started toward him, and he, as soon as he got out of that car, he took that car off. He pointed his finger at us, and he said this. He said, "Fellas, I'm going to tell you right now, I have not been drinking. I'm home and I'm going to bed. I'm going in the house." And he turned and he started to go in the house. My buddy said, "What are we going to do?" I said, "We're going to let him go to bed." No. No, we took off after him up on that porch. And he got to the door and got one hand on the door. And he turned around and pointed again. He said, "Fellas, I'm telling you, I've not been drinking. I'm going in here and I'm going to bed." And he turns and he starts in. Well, my buddy grabs one arm and I grab the other and we turn him around. He never fought us. If he had, it'd have been ugly. But he resisted us the whole way back to the patrol car. I had one arm, my buddy had the other, and we're trying to get him in some control type grips and get him over to the car and get him leaned over the hood of that car. And my buddy looks back at me and whispers behind his back. He said, "What are we going to do?" And I said, "I'm going to shoot him in the kneecap if I have to." And we got him leaned over, and the guy says, "Would you really do that?" And I said, "I'll shoot both your kneecaps if you don't put your hands behind your back." And I meant that. God is my witness. I wasn't going to be eat for supper that night, I can promise you that. But now listen, I don't know what happened. Now, I took him to jail and charged him and all that stuff. Never saw him after that, probably apart from the court date. But that Sunday, some way or another, he had made his way 19 miles from the county he lives in to the church where I pastor, and he sat right there in that worship service, and he was worshiping God. You know why he was so excited about worshiping? Because of his life experience. Because he knew where God had brought him from. He knew what God had done for him. He knew who God was to him. And he come in there, he was a visitor. He had no clue if we were some of the frozen chosen. Sitting there with all of our mouths shut. He didn't know if we was the happy clappy. The man, he come and he didn't care. He was just going to worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, because in his life he's seen Jesus high and lifted up and seated on the throne. Now, my friend, I want you to listen to me, and I close with this. So true worship is this, that even when things die in our lives, we still worship him. Worship's not based on how we feel. But I'm glad this also, I'm glad worship is not based on how we fake it. So we don't have to come in smiling. We don't have to come in laughing. We don't have to come in with, oh, my week's been wonderful. Because sometimes a smile is hard to find. Sometimes the week has been horrible. Sometimes our health is failing. Sometimes somebody we know has been touched in their body. Sometimes dreams are broke. Sometimes we fail and we mess up. And because we love the Lord, it breaks us. It hurts us that we've done that. Said something we shouldn't have said, done something we shouldn't have done, thought something we shouldn't have thought. So when we come here, it's not always easy to praise and worship. Oh, there's times we ought to do that, and plenty of it, because there's a lot of good days. Sometimes things in our life have died, and we simply don't know which way to turn. I'm going to tell you where you need to turn. God's allowed those things to happen. He didn't make them happen. He didn't cause them to happen. Maybe he did some things, but he certainly allowed them, at least. It's those times, those days, it ought to drive us to our Creator, our Redeemer. And what he'll show us, he will show us a glimpse of his glory. He will show us the Lord high and lifted up, seated on the throne. That's the vision you ought to have in your heart. That's the vision you ought to keep in your mind. And when you get that vision, you too will worship him. My prayer for Liberty is this. I just want you to be real, Liberty. I want you to be real. I'm going to do that with you. I'll be very transparent with you. In fact, you fully expect at some point I may come here on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night, and I'm just going to stand up here and I'm going to say, I just thank God it tonight. I just thank God it this morning. Man, I need the prayers of this church. Church, will you just come and pray with me? Man, I have bad days too. I have broken dreams too. My health gets touched too. Same things happen to you, happen to Isaiah. Same things that happened to Isaiah happens to me. So don't be surprised if I don't do that sometime. But what I want you to do is I want you to do the same thing. I just want you to be real. I don't want you to put on this charade on Sunday mornings just because it's the thing to do. I shook hands one time with a deacon coming into church when I was in my last pastorate. Might have been a Sunday night, I don't remember, but he come up, he shook my hand, he said, something like, how's it going, or how you doing? And I said, good, doing good. How are you? He said, I'm doing good. Nobody else was around. And he made this statement. He said, no, preacher, I'm not good. He said, I'm not good. And he said, it's not good. I was in the same place. I said, you know what? I said, I'm not good either. I said, let's just be real with each other. One time I went to the restroom before service, before preaching, and this was another deacon. He was in the restroom. He was washing his hands, and I tapped on the back, and I said, how you doing? You doing all right? And he just hung his head and started weeping uncontrollably. And he said, no. No, I'm not, preacher. No, I'm not. Well, friends, listen to me. That's you today. That's you today. Your spouse may not even know it. Your best friend may not even be aware of it, but in your heart of hearts, you know. You're so troubled, you don't know which way to turn. Well, I'm telling you what you need to do this morning is you need to do this. You need to say, even when things have died in my life, I am going to worship him. I am going to bow before him and acknowledge him as being the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one seated on the throne, the one who will never be unthroned or dethroned. Let me tell you something, they can vote on him all day long. And I want you to understand, they'll never vote him out. He's on the throne. The throne has been established, and forever that is settled in heaven. And you need to resolve in your heart, I will worship Him. I don't understand it. I don't know. Things have died, but I need a view of the Lord seated on the throne. And the way you get that view is you seek Him. You worship Him. You ascribe worth to Him, because God is good, whether it's good in your life or not. The Bible says He's good. The Bible doesn't say it's always good. Life is always good. But the Bible says God is good. And so we worship Him even when life is rotten, because God is still good. The Duke of, girls, we ask you to sing. The Duke of Wellington, he defeated Napoleon at the Battle of Waterloo. You historians know this. He was known to be a difficult man because, man, he was a general. He was in charge. He was a slave driver. Troops jumped at his command. And that's how he defeated Napoleon. Because of that attitude and that mentality. He was a military man. And near his deathbed, somebody asked him one day, said, "Dear sir, if you could do anything different, what would you do?" And he reflected on his life and he said this. He said, "I think I would praise more." Give his troops praise instead of being so hard all the time. Let me tell you what does not need to happen, Liberty. We don't need to get to heaven one day and say, "I wish we had praised more." Let me tell you what needs to happen, dear mom, dear dad, dear son, dear daughter. What does not need to happen is you don't want to get to the end of life and say, "I wish I would have praised more." Let's praise today. Hey, you're here today. He's give you breath today. He's give you legs to walk in here, arms to praise Him, tears in your eyeballs to shed before Him. He's give you a heart, if nothing else, a heart to be able to turn it to Him in ascribing worth and worship. You've got today. I know that. God brought you here. Why? Because God wants you to move. He brought you here. Why? Because God wants your attitude to be reflective of a worshiping heart toward Him. God brought you here. Why? To let you be the one who leads worship today in this altar, where you declare, "Life is bad and things have died that have hurt me and killed me, but I am seeking the Lord of hosts. I am seeking God, the one high and lifted up and seated on His throne." And watch the glory of the Lord fill your heart, your life, your home, and Liberty Baptist Church. I want you to stand. Girls, sing. And as soon as they begin singing, you make your way to this altar. All the way from the back of this church, start coming down these aisles. In the middle of this church, come down these aisles. You step out, push somebody out of your way, and you come and you worship Him. You obey the Lord. Mind Him. Sing, Abigail. Hallelujah. That's right. Amen. There are still room in these aisles. You can come and kneel in the aisles. Touch them, Lord. Yes. Touch them, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen. Worship Him from your pews. All over God's house, worship Him. Amen. Yes. Yes. Touch Him, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. Amen. Yes. Amen. Worship Him, Liberty. Worship Him. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. That's right. Amen. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. Listen. Give me that chorus one more time. You can jump in there wherever it's at. Just hit it and hit it hard, girls, for the glory of the Lord. Give Him glory, church. Give Him praise. Give Him thanksgiving. Adore Him. Worship Him. Yes. Come on, Brother Roger. Amen. Praise the name of our Lord. Amen. Let me remind you that if you are visiting this morning, you're a first-time visitor or you've been coming several Sundays and I've not got to meet you yet, please meet me as soon as Brother Roger finishes. Meet me through this door to my left, to your right. We have a hospitality room back there. We have a small gift to give you. And also some snacks. Just take 5 or 10 minutes. Let me say hello to you. We love you, church, and thank you, Liberty.